There's a deep irony in the war against Osama bin Laden and his brand of Islamic militancy. Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. In fact, there are now roughly the same number of Muslims living in America as Jews. One convert to Islam is Michael Wolfe, an American who's made the pilgrimage to Mecca. He believed, at least before September 11th, that Islam was poised to become the next great American religion. He says it's a good fit with basic American values, even though religion and politics are closely linked in the Islamic tradition.
I don't think that there is a conflict between separation of church and state. The problem has been frequently that Islam has been hijacked by rulers. You'll remember, for instance, all those really disgusting pictures of Saddam Hussein during the Gulf War praying with a pistol on his hip. I mean, this is absurd. And of course, it's equally absurd that the American media fell for it, because this is exactly what he wanted. He wanted to show that he was the leader of the faith.
I'm guessing you'd also say that Taliban distorts Islamic teachings?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when the Taliban explains the multi-billion dollar opium trade in Afghanistan, then I'll start to listen to them about Islam.
In recent years, Islam has been one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. Why has it been so appealing to Americans?
This is a religion that stresses individuality, that stresses one's independent relationship to an ethical life and to God. It's a religion that really says essentially that it's up to you to develop your own spiritual future. This is a point of view which dovetails pretty nicely with the general attitudes of most Americans. You know, over 50% of America's 6 million Muslims were born here. This is not solely a religion based on immigration. And with statistics like those, they would seem to indicate some sort of a basic agreement between core American values and the beliefs that Muslims hold.
So many Americans' spirituality is rooted in Judaism and Christianity. What makes Islam distinctive from those beliefs?
Well, it gives one a practice, and the practice involves prayer or meditation 5 times a day, which takes a minute or two. It's just checking out of the mainstream flow for a few minutes here and there during your day, which can be very elevating and also kind of a protective experience in the environment that we live in. There's also a month in which Muslims are asked to fast from morning till evening. And once again, in a consumer society such as ours, where so much is based on hunger and on desire and on what one perceives to be one's needs, it's a valuable experience to undertake cessation of some of this intake just for a little while.
Is this really the difference, though? Islam is based, as I understand it, pretty much in the same, it has its roots in the same areas as Judaism and Christianity. In fact, they were around when Islam began and share many of the same beliefs and values. Where does Islam change? Is it simply in these practices?
Islam is like the third side of a triptych, of a spiritual triple painting. It relates directly in its prophetic tradition to the prophets of Judaism and of Christianity. All of those traditions look back to Abraham, the founder, if you will, of ethical monotheism, Moses, the lawgiver. Jesus is an enormously important figure in Islam. His name is never mentioned by a Muslim without following it with peace and blessings be upon him. There are also distinct differences. Islam is not a religion that encourages monasticism or that sees a separation between the mind, the body, and the spirit, or between religion and the community, for that matter, and politics. So there are differences, but you're right, there's a very strong underlying connection. I think of the image that has often been used of wells, deep wells, that all go down to the same source.
I understand that you came to Islam as an adult, is that right?
That's correct.
How were you raised?
My father was Jewish, a little fallen away, but came back in his later life. My mother was Christian, also fallen away. I was raised in a very small town in Ohio, in a very spiritually permissive setup. I went to school with primarily Catholic, Episcopalian, and Protestant kids. A few of us were Jewish. I was confirmed, you might say, they call it that, in the Reform faith. But by the time I was 18 or 19, really neither of these faiths was operative in my life.
Can I ask you what drew you then to Islam?
After college, I finished university in 1968. I'm a writer. I've been a writer for a long time. I was a writer then. I had a scholarship, you might say, to travel and write. And I took that little bit of money and went to Africa. And I lived for about 3.5 years in predominantly Muslim communities, society, traveling through, settling down, living places, working. And I really liked it. I liked the way strangers were treated, myself being a stranger. There was great hospitality in this faith. Hospitality is a measure of quite a lot, in my estimation. And I was always treated with terrific gentleness and a kind of respect. This stuck with me. I didn't become a Muslim then. I didn't become a Muslim for another 20 years. But it was a very positive experience. I should say in my 40s, I became interested in adding a kind of a spiritual element to my life. As a writer, my cynicism was very well honed, or my skepticism at least. I took up the prayer first because it is somewhat like a very simplified yoga and has a little liturgy that goes along with it. And I enjoyed the movements and the exercise of it. And as I say, I enjoyed the ducking out of mainstream time for a few minutes, 4 or 5 times a day. It felt good to me. I liked the idea of it, and I liked the way I felt from it.
You've written about your first pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj. Was it different from what you expected?
Oh, yes. I read a few books, and I talked to a few people, but it wasn't really possible to get one's mind around the experience of 2 million people being in, 2 million extra people being in one town all at the same time, all the men wearing white robes, really a set of very large towels is what they're wearing, the women all dressed in very similar, simple clothes. I wasn't ready for the retreat aspect of it. I think in Christian terms, you know, you might think of the Hajj as a huge retreat in which people return to a land that gave birth to Islam. You know, it's also a great kind of a celebration, and it's very interesting emotionally because there are many different stages to it. It morphs into it starts as a kind of set of urban rites, but before very long, you find yourself in a tent in a desert. Everyone gives up their walls and their air conditioning and their sense of security in a certain way. Goes out and lives in the desert for 2 or 3 days with 2 million strangers, but they're not strangers. The people who are doing exactly the same, they're there for the same reasons you are. And a lot of camaraderie develops, very interesting meetings. It's a kind of free-form UN there for 4 or 5 days. Everybody wants to meet everyone, and you do. It's a bit like traveling without a passport. You know, you can cover the world on the Hajj. There are people there from 125 countries, and they're all just dying to meet you. So it's very interesting that way. There are some rites, but there's a lot of time in between them. And you travel in a kind of a circular route, well, a looping route, out into the desert to a distant point about 15 miles outside town. And it takes 3 or 4 days to make this journey. It's a real pilgrimage. And it's been going on for such a long time, for so many centuries, that people have a feeling of participating in something timeless. Now, that's something I never had projected either. I really felt involved in something very timeless, as though these rites were water, you know. We were all vessels, and the water was being poured into us. A very interesting experience. Never had anything like it. I'm sure most people who've gone on Hajj have never had anything like it.
Michael Wolff's books include The Hajj, An American's Pilgrimage to Mecca. He's now working on a TV documentary on the Prophet Muhammad.